Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, KEYS. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.
To the best of my knowledge, and I have become very convinced about this, if you do not have a sense of a personal history, which gives you a center of gravity, I don't see how come you can succeed, you can prosper, you can thrive in this world. Because when you have that sense of a history, you find out two things for yourself. First, you know what to avoid doing. Second, which is to me the most important thing, you develop an inward drive and the tenacity to carry out what you do. To me, it's kind of delusional that we people think that or believe that history or personal history is the past. It is not the past. I don't believe so. It is not at all. It is who we are. Because how our personal history actively lives within each of us.
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com. Massage, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me and for giving me this opportunity.
It is my pleasure to have you here. So I found out about you through way of a friend and former guest, Nikki Groom. And when she told me a little bit about your story and everything that you had been through, I thought, yeah, this is kind of a no-brainer. I definitely want to have you as a guest. Given kind of the background and what I do know about you, I wanted to start by asking you, where in the world were you born and raised, and how did that impact the choices that you've ended up making with your life and your career?
And once again, I want to say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be on your platform. So actually, I was born and raised in the Republic of the Congo, which happens to be a French colony. So that's where I was born and raised. So when I was 12 years old, civil war ravaged my town. I left with my mother and youngest brother, heading for my grandfather's village. So the village that was our safe haven became nothing. A place filled with loss and pain when one morning those who were supposed to protect us invaded the village with the tanks and burnt houses and looted goods. And then we were forced to flee and live in the forest for over a year in the huts made of branches and palm leaves, and without any decent food, so this piece of my personal history has influenced me a lot and has kind of giving me the tenacity to be where I am today. And my mother, didn't have to finish high school, and then she emphasized to me the power of a personal history and, of course, education, what education can do for someone like me, and how I can empower myself through education. I think that's what I can say. It's been a long journey.
You know, I think it's one thing for us to hear you tell us that story and see the images that we do that, you know, we get through media, but I think it's an entirely different thing to viscerally understand that. I mean, when you're that young and you see, you know, this village that you've grown up in being, you know, attacked and destroyed in the middle of a civil war, what do we as people who experience what you experience only through media not see? What are the parts of this that we actually don't understand?
One thing, I did not really grow up in the village. I grew up in the third town of the Republic of the Congo, Dolisi. But from time to time, I had to go back to my grandfather's village before the Civil War. So to some extent, I think it was during, vacations that I could go to my grandfather's village. To get back to your question, I think the difference is huge. You know, first of all, you don't kind of live it. You know, you just see the experience through media, through TV. But those who live it, you know, really firsthand experienced the event, and which has a lot of ramifications, a lot of consequences if someone is not quite strong enough, mentally strong enough. So it can be psychology, social, and of course, economy as well. I think, also, that's maybe the dark side of going up through this experience, but also the bright side is that, as I said, it gives you the tenacity to create a sustainable value in the world that we live in, and then to say to yourself, if I have survived this experience, I don't see what else can destroy me. What else I cannot survive? What else I cannot survive and also thrive and prosper in life?
Yeah. So when I think in the United States, I mean, last time there was a civil war, obviously, was the Civil War in the United States, and to see a civil war on TV, I mean, what does that do? Not only to a country, but also to families, to relationships, to the society. Like, what is the byproduct of that? What impact does that end up having on the country at large? Because the only thing I think I know about Congo is literally that Congo has been in a civil war.
Yes, I think maybe two things I needed to clarify. First is that there are two Congos. There is a Democratic Republic of the Congo and Republic of the Congo. So the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that's where usually there is ongoing, I can say civil war different parts of the country. And then there is, the Republic of the Congo. So we had a couple of civil wars. I think the first one or the biggest one was in 1997 and then in 1999. And then also, I think, and 2000, some parts. So I think what this kind of experiences do to family, to people, to individuals is very terrible. People lose the family members, they lose the economic leverage, they become poor, and of course sometimes they they get stuck, they stagnate, they cannot, you know, thrive anymore because of the trauma that, you know, experience can and leave on them. So for example, my grand aunt, when we were leaving, you know, my town, when the Civil War happened, or was happening, the day that it was happening, my grand aunt did not want to leave. She said, "I have no place else to go. This is my home. This is my city, and I cannot leave." You know, my father tried to convince her, "Let's go. We don't know what will happen after." But she did not want to. A year after, when we came back, you know, after the Civil War, when we came back to the town, we did not find her. You know, as of today, we don't know what happened to her. We did not find her body. We could not bury her. You know, these kind of experiences are very sometimes difficult to talk about, and that's the reason why I was able to write a memoir of my journey entitled "The Power of a Personal History," that kind of talks about, you know, my experience during the Civil War and also my experience here in America, how I did use that experience to be who I am, and of course education as well. So the consequences of that experience are terrible, and also it depends on how people make a sense of that experience. Okay, how really, because it really matter a lot how we do make a sense of what has happened to us, and what kind of stories that we frame around those events. That's very fascinating for me. And that's the reason why I went on to write a dissertation on how sub-Saharan African immigrants who survived civil wars and or genocide use such experiences to fuel the entrepreneurial drive, business leadership, and success in America. Yeah. So it was very fascinating to find what, you know, what they have been doing here.
Yeah. What is an average day of your life like in that environment? Is it, do you wake up just with this perpetual sense that, you know, at any moment chaos could erupt? Or I mean, describe an average day in this environment when you're in a civil war.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now, with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
Oh, when I was or now?
There. Well, when you were there, yeah.
Are you asking recently or when the Civil War
happened? No. When this was happening, what was an average? Yeah, both actually. Tell me what an average day in the environment that you grew up in was like.
No, I think when this was happening, it was I think terrible. You had the sense that life is no the. There is no value anymore in life. Life is insignificant because you see, sometimes how people become hopeless, desperate. People just rely on faith, on God, that God can, help them to hold on, to move ahead. So every single morning when you wake up, you wake up with the sense of gratitude, in the sense of resilience, in the sense with the sense of tenacity that things will look all right. And that's the reason why we left my town. We went to my grandfather's village, and which was a safe place at that moment. But a couple of months later, the village was invaded by people who were supposed to protect us. And then we went to the forest. So in the forest, it's a new life. So you live, you don't have a house. A house is made of branches, palm leaves. Palm leaves as a roof. But also the beauty of this experience is that it kind of teaches you the significance of life. It kind of teaches you the sense of empathy, the sense of preserving life, that there is nothing more than life, and with life, everything is, is possible. I think that's kind of what you do. You wake up when this happens.
Yeah. Now, while you're in this environment, you emphasize the importance of education. What is it? Did you go to school, or are you just trying to survive every day?
Oh no! At that time, my classroom education ceased. There was no school anymore. Teachers could not be found. So my education was replaced by daily wisdom, by daily upbringing. You go to fishing. Adults tell you some stories, how to survive, how to thrive. And as young as I was at the time, you also enjoy the nature, because you sleep with with the birds on the top of your your roof, so you can hear them sing. You know, so it was also a good experience to some extent. You value the nature. The nature kind of opens its beauty to you, and life becomes, I can say, less tense, less depressing, which is a little bit paradoxal, because you are living this experience, this horrible experience, and at the same time you are valuing, you are embracing life, you are seeing the beauty, of life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes me wonder, because I think anybody listening to this, if they had gone through what you went through, I don't think any of them would be able to describe it this way and say this. Now, is this something you only feel in retrospect, or was this something you felt at that time as well?
Yes, I think so. I think it is something that I felt at the time. Let me tell you this anecdote. Okay, when I was when we fled, and me, my mother, my youngest brother at the time, I think he was 1 year old. So when we fled, we walked through forests and savannas, long distances, and in days in and days out, sometimes we could not rest. So one day we walked so long, and my feet were swollen, and I could not walk anymore. So I found myself, me and my mother, in this forest. There was nobody else but us. And then I wanted to rest. And my mom told me, yes, let's rest. And she looked at my feet. Oh, my goodness. They were swollen. There was a liquid, coming out from my feet. And then she put some ointments, on my feet. After we rested for a couple of minutes, and she told me, now we have to resume to walk. And I said, I cannot walk. She said, listen, the sun is going down now, which means that, the night is coming very soon. So we cannot stay here. If we stay here, nobody else will come for our rescue. So you have to be your own rescuer. You have to save yourself. No matter how much pain you have, you have to walk. Okay? You have to walk. So when those words of encouragement, my kind of faith was refueled, and then I walked despite the pain that I had on my feet. And then as I was walking, I was kind of listening to, there was a kind of a voice in my head telling me, carry your load to your destination. You are the only one who can make it. There is no one else.
Beautiful. So how do you go from, being in the midst of all of this to coming to the United States?
As I said before, I think the power of education, my mom, dropped out of school when she was pregnant to me, and also she emphasized to me the power of education besides the power of personal history. So after the Civil War, I had to study hard. I wanted to learn to speak English by listening to a Voice of America. I don't know if you know that broadcast, Voice of America. They had at that time a program in English that was teaching people how to speak English. And I think it was on weekends. So sometimes I could just, turn on the program and listen to the program. And that's where I started to learn to speak English. And then later on, when I got to my baccalaureate, I left another city where I was studying. And I went to Brazzaville, the capital of the Republic of the Congo. And that's where I found out about Fulbright, because in Brazzaville there was a U.S. embassy, and U.S. embassy had at that time they call it at that time Villa Washington, which was a cultural center. So people could come and learn to speak English. They also invited guest speakers to come and talk about different issues, different topics. So that's where I found out about the Fulbright scholarship. And there were a couple of criteria to get the fellowship. So one of them was that you needed to get your bachelor's degree, and after you get your bachelor's degree, and you take TOEFL exams, GRE exams, you write a research project telling the reason why you have to come and be a student, in America. So that's what I did. I found out it was a great opportunity for me, for someone who had such a background. The Civil War affected my family in many respects, economically speaking. So we did not have any means, anymore. And then I said to myself, if I really need to further my education, I need really to have a merit-based scholarship, and which was a Fulbright fellowship. That's how I ended up applying, for Fulbright fellowship. The first time I did, I didn't succeed, so I failed. And then the next time, I succeeded, and then I came to America to study, to do my dual master's degree, one in international studies and another one in conflict studies. And then after that, I went back home, and then I came back, to the U.S. to do my PhD. So that's how I ended up, to be here, to understand or to grasp again, the power of international education and what it can do, not only for people coming to study, in America, but also how a language, such an English can. Can it be a language of mutual understanding, a language that can open new doors, not only for countries, but also for people, for individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing this makes me wonder is where this sort of amazing, this sort of relentless resourcefulness comes from, because there are people who have so much more than you did in that situation, who don't accomplish anywhere as near as much, or feel like they don't have enough to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Why is that? Like, why is it that somebody like you, who can go through something this difficult, this challenging, can be so resourceful that you get yourself a Fulbright, and yet somebody who has far more advantages than you do doesn't even come close to something like a Fulbright?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now, with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
I think it depends on many factors, and these factors or these things can be external or internal. And to me, to the best of my knowledge, and I have become very convinced about this, if you do not have a sense of a personal history, which gives you a center of gravity, I don't see how come you can succeed, you can prosper, you can thrive in this world. Because when you have that sense of a history, you find out two things for yourself. First, you know what to avoid doing. Second, which is to me the most important thing, you develop an inward drive and the tenacity to carry out what you do. So we are living in a very challenging world today. The world is filled with so many challenges and crises. And if we don't have that sense of personal history, I'm not quite sure how we can create a sustainable value, you know, in the world we live in. And also, to me, it's kind of delusional that we people think that or believe that history or personal history is the past. It is not the past. I don't believe so. It is not at all. It is who we are, because how our personal history actively lives within each of us. So, for example, if we acknowledge, okay, I'm going to take this you know, macro example. If we acknowledge the present day of America is shaped by the American Revolution, by the speech of Patrick Henry, that he gave, I guess, in 1775, give me liberty or give me death. So we surely can acknowledge that the past history is not a past, because the America that we do see today was shaped by its history, even the innovation that we do see today. And that sense of history is still making America what it is. And it is the same thing for human beings. So I think, you know, people need to see, you know, how they can keep that sense of history. And to keep that sense of history, you need to be able to make sense of what has happened to you. And that's the reason why I have developed, based on my dissertation research, what I call personal history telling a map. So in that map, I kind of explain there are two pathways that a person can take to make sense of a tragedy, of a crisis after it has happened. So one pathway is what I call anti-optimistic meaning making. And that pathway usually leads to what I call swamp for negative meaning making. And then we have another pathway, which is optimistic meaning making. And there are kind of four questions that you ask yourself, a person can ask to make sense. So first is what was or is the event, which leads to the second question. Okay, what optimistic words do I assign to it? To that event, to that tragedy, to that crisis. And it transitions to the third question, what story or plot do I tell myself? And finally, what strengths, behaviors, attitudes can I draw from it? So, you know, when this map, I tried to explain it in more details during my workshop. So I think, you know, it's very important to be able to understand, to appreciate, and to make a sense of what has happened to us. And every day we try to make a sense to you know, anything that we go through. Every day we do it. But sometimes we do it subconsciously, when that knowing what, how we make sense of things around us, or things that have happened to us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because I clipped this personal history map, telling map right from your YouTube, just so I could have it in front of me during our conversation. Let's actually look at this through the lens of sort of, you know, an everyday event that maybe people are experiencing. You know, maybe it's the loss of a parent. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Let's use something that people can relate to. Let's go through a practical example. You know, we're potentially about to head into a recession. You know, COVID caused people to lose their jobs. Let's start with a job loss. Let's look at the job loss as one of the examples of how we could use this framework to actually use it and get strengths from it. So obviously the event is clear. So that next question, what optimistic words do I send to it? I think that, you know, when you ask somebody like, what's great about having lost this job, their first response is not going to be, I have anything optimistic there to say about this. They're going to be like, this sucks. Like, how am I going to make money? How am I going to pay rent? Naturally, you know, you fall into sort of rumination patterns, or you freak, like the natural response, I think, to crisis is panic. So how do we go from that sort of, you know, almost immediate temptation to freak out to what you're talking about, to getting ourselves to ask these questions? And from what I understand from what you told me, it doesn't sound like this is a, you know, I'm going to go through these questions one time and everything is going to be great.
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think, you know, how a first reaction or how a first response to the crisis can it be a panic? So we can panic. We can say, I this is not good for me, and this is, you know, not good for my family, etc. And that's a normal reaction. Okay, that's a totally normal reaction. Even myself, I sometimes do it. But the critical aspect of all of this is that you have to pause. You have to take a break. You know, you have kind of to zoom in and zoom out the event, and then you have to ask yourself those kind of questions. What if you choose? I can say entire optimistic, you know, meaning making what it will bring to you, what it will make of you. So you need to really to understand the mechanism of sense making the event. And in my workshop, I really go into details. It's a very practical. And as I mentioned, you know, my workshop is developed based on my dissertation research, which means that I have come up with the idea based on what I have heard from people who are successful in business industry, you know, entrepreneurs who went through horrible experiences, and how they have been able to develop a certain strengths from that experience. And that's what I have been able to create in a more like a clear way, in a more illustrative way.
So we've talked about, you know, the optimistic words that we assign to it, say something like losing a job. How do you take now the words that you've assigned to it and basically write a story that you tell yourself that actually empowers you?
I think there are, you know, few techniques that I usually, you know, share with, you know, with people. I kind of help people to come up with their own story. So I'm not kind of giving them how you create your own story. So I facilitate the process of creating a story that can be as a compass for them. Can it be as a gravity, okay, for them? So for example, if you want me to mention this,
please.
You know, when I was doing my dissertation research, and I did ask my interviewees such a question. So almost all of them, you know, told me that if I have survived the worst, I do not see what else I cannot survive. So you can see that just saying that, that becomes that person personal plot, that person personal story. Because you have to come up with a story that empowers you, the story that will serve you as a resource, as a strategic resource, as educational resource. So as long as you don't come up with that kind of a story, it becomes difficult for you to break the chain. So you need really to come up with the story. And let's not forget that we as human beings are part of stories. Our lives are stories. Either we acknowledge it or not, they are full of stories. Stories empower, stories enact action. And it's up to us to see how we can create those kind of stories based on what we have went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's take that and talk about sort of drawing strengths from these. Because I think that there's no question that when you go through an adverse experience, you often, you know, gain sort of strengths that you can. And you know, I think that one thing that, at least in my personal experience, I've learned is that the, you know, people say, okay, how do you develop a tolerance for adversity? And I always say you go through adversity, because reading about it, you can have all the strategies in the world to heal a heartbreak, to get over the loss of a job, to do all these things. And the funny thing is, the moment those things happen to you, everything you know doesn't serve you in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's only when you come out the other side, I've learned. Mm-hmm. And then the next time it happens, it doesn't beat you up as much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I think, you know, what you have just said, it's a normal process, you know, and I believe that it's not when you are really on the other side of you know, of the event that you develop, you understand the depth of what has happened to you. So there are two things, okay. As you talked about the strengths,
yeah.
Such a tragedy or such a crisis happens, you know, you lose your job, there are kind of two things can happen to you. Okay, one is that you freeze. You can freeze, which means that you can develop what they call today, you know, resilience, but you do not thrive. The resilience that you develop is the mechanism to cope with that kind of tragedy. And you get stuck there. You stagnate. So there is no a room of innovation. You get really stuck. And I have seen this not only from my own experience, but also from where I am coming from. You know, my town was devastated by civil war. I have seen people, you know, after the civil war, after many years, they have become kind of immune to such experience, but they do not thrive. So such experience has a kind of put them on, you know, on the knees. I don't know if I am making sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So, and it doesn't just mean that when you are on the other side of the event that you will, you know, thrive. It requires another level of, you know, thriving, of prospering. Okay, and that's where it comes. I think, the inward drive, because you have to develop that inward drive. You have to develop that tenacity. Okay, you have to. And we can talk about this. We can say, you know, two people who have gone through the same experience. One, you know, went to become a very successful human being, and the other one, not at all. You know, so it just depends on, I think, you know, the way that we react to the situation, the way that we respond, and of course, you know, how we are wired. Because I believe that, listen, I'm not going to try to be controversial here, but I think human beings are not equal. Equal, not in terms of justice, but equal in terms of how they handle problems that happen to them. There is no equality there. Some people handle it well, and later on they become successful. Some people don't, and later on they don't become successful in any area of their life. So, and that's why it's very important to understand yourself, how you are wired. And in my workshop, you know, it's a 2-day workshop. So I go through all of those are things. Because if you want really to also to become a leader, especially with, you know, business leadership, business leaders or the managers, so they really needed to understand the personality and beyond the personality, what kind of strengths they do have and how they can mobilize the people who work with them around those strengths they do have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what have you seen in this work, you know, in your workshops, having been the result, you know, in other people's lives? I mean, obviously, it's very clear what an impact this has had on yours. And obviously, context matters here because, you know, it's not apples and oranges. You're coming from coming to this perspective from having survived a civil war in, you know, a country that, you know, is far more, you know, poverty stricken than the United States, you know, where people have less resources. I mean, you've gone through far more suffering than the average person. And what I realized is suffering is relative. So how has this changed the lives of the people who have experienced this, you know, on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, quite a lot. I think as I said, you know, context matters and of course the circumstance okay matters. And of course how you were, maybe to some extent, brought up okay, as well. So in my workshops, usually I work with, business leaders or corporate managers, and of course, aspiring entrepreneurs, because I think, part of the misleading aspect of entrepreneurship or business is that we have a tendency to believe, you know, everything is about money. If you don't have money, you cannot be an entrepreneur. You cannot invest. You cannot be a successful entrepreneur. And to me, I think the money is important, but also there is another aspect of that, which is you yourself as a human being, you know, the drive that you have, the tenacity that you develop to carry out what you do. That's what matters the most. It's not money. You know, today you can lose money, but if you do not have such a drive, I don't see how you can keep doing what you are doing. So there has to be something inside you. You have to find it. You have to search inside you and find what makes you come alive. And if you do not find it, I don't quite see how you know successful you can be. And you know, success here also can be relative, but you know, how you can excel in what you can do. So I believe as I said, you know, history is not the past. History is what we are. We really, in many sense, I think we take history as we take history for granted. So the another anecdote I'm going to tell you is that when I was writing my book that I have just published a month ago before my graduation, where I was a keynote speaker, so I called my mom when I was writing my book, because some of the places that we went, you know, during the tragedy, civil war, I could no longer clearly remember the names of those places. So I had to call my mom to ask her to remind me the names of those places. And she was a little bit, she was surprised to see me or to hear me ask her those, you know, that experience. And she asked me, why are you asking me these things? And the reason why she did ask me those are kind of questions was that we never talked about the Civil War at home, never at all. Since it happened, we never talked about it. My mom did not, until today, has not told me how she experienced that event in her own words, never at all. So you can see that there are certain crises that people are not quite able to talk about. So it's kind of, stuck, okay, in them, and then it becomes a little bit difficult for them to talk about it. And it's also the same thing that what happened to the Jewish community, okay, the Holocaust. So the generation that lived through that event did not have so much courage to tell about what really happened. It was the next generation, mostly, that came and tried to document the Holocaust. So I believe that the more we are aware of our history, where we are coming from, the more we can be able to find our place in this world, how much impact that we wanted to live in this world. But the less we are aware of our personal history, it becomes a little bit difficult to create a sustainable value in the world. And I do believe that each of us has a personal history of a tragedy. I do believe it. And, you know, some people create a great value, okay, out of it, and others don't. And that's why I think leaders should be quite able to be able to translate the past personal tragedy into business leadership, success, and money. And that's what I try to help, you know, through my workshop.
Wow. Well, this has been incredible. So I have one final question for you, which is how we finish all of our interviews at The Unmistakable Creative. What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
Oh, it's a hard question, don't you think so? the person's capacity to be aware of his or her personal history. I think, I believe that, you know, personal history is what gives us the tenacity, the inward drive. If you don't have such a drive, if you don't have such an inward drive, if you don't have the tenacity to be really what you want to be, and to be unique, so I don't see how you cannot be unmistakable. I don't really see. Because I think, I usually say, and I have said it here, history is not the past. It is who we are, because a history invokes inspirations that shape our present and future conditions. History. And because of it, we have the inward drive and the tenacity. Those are two things are definitely what can set you on the road of being unique in what you do. No matter how many times you may encounter defeats, as Maya Angelou said, I may encounter many defeats, I quote, but I will not be defeated. So you need to have that inward drive, that tenacity. No matter how many times you can be knocked down, but you know, you can see the light, you can see what is possible, you can see what is honorable and how you can execute it. That's it.
Incredible. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us and share your story, your wisdom, and your insights with our listeners. Where can people find out more about you, your work, and everything you're up to?
Sure. People can visit my website, www.drmazash.com. They can reach out to me. There is a section that I have created where people can reach out to me, not only for to learn more about my work, but of course, if they would love me to come to conduct a two-day workshop or speaking engagement. So I am available. I am open to any of those inquiries.
Amazing. And for everybody listening, we will wrap the show with that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here, like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that, and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.